to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, here we are. Let's try this again. It's Wednesday, the 13th of August. Welcome to another edition of The Shooting Bench. Monday will be Amy's debut on The Shooting Bench. She will have her own little segment in here. And I know you all have been wondering where she was at and everything. So be prepared, 8:30 Pacific time on Monday. Next Monday, and she'll be here with us, and she'll be in here for a half hour or so, or however long it takes her to get her information out, and then we'll go back to our regularly scheduled programming. Let's see who we got in the chat room here real quick. I can't name them all. Thunder 57, welcome. I haven't seen you for a while. Got some anonymous in here. And a bunch of the regulars, Peanut Rider, don't make it in all the time, Mars. All right. Welcome to all of you. A lot of stuff going on, man. A lot of stuff going on. It's everybody that you talk to, even people that previously, even as little as a year ago, maybe even 6 months ago, but certainly a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, when they just would not accept the fact that things were falling apart. They just wouldn't say, well, yeah, maybe one of these days, but probably not in my lifetime. Oh, really? Well, a lot of those people are coming up now and saying, you know what? I was wrong. I feel bad about this, but where do I start? What do I do now? And I so want to tell them, you know, just unless you're a millionaire, just go out and shoot yourself or something. I mean, you're way late getting started. No, I wouldn't say that. You know, I wouldn't say that. But they're way late getting started, and it's going to be very expensive. They don't have the luxury that we had of getting ready to start preparing for this stuff, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago. And, you know, where now a lot of us are at the point where we see, yeah, well, see something new, something that we don't have or want to try, we go ahead and grab one just for the heck of it. But a lot of times it's not anything we necessarily need. Where, you know, a few years ago we were being very meticulous about getting our however many pounds of wheat and however many gallons of water and getting these things put back and inventoried and put in such a way that we can rotate them and keep moving it and everything. And I really feel for these people. And then Ranger is right. A lot of these people say, not in my lifetime. No. Really? I'm going to be surprised if it ain't this year. I know I said that last year. And needless to say, by the end of the year, I was surprised. So we'll see what happens this year. But being as we only have 4 months left in this year, I don't know. But things are moving awfully quickly. With all the stuff going on, you know, we've said it before, and you guys know what I'm fixing to say, the border in Russia and Israel, and it's starting to come here in the States now. We've got all this stuff going on in Missouri, up in Ferguson, Missouri. Rioting and shooting and all this stuff for the last, what, three days or so? And I think that some of the people that are conducting this stuff, that are perpetrating these riots and whatnot, are serving to embolden others across the country. Others that may be inclined to want to, you know, just getting nervous. And I don't care whether they're white, brown, black, red, tutti frutti. People are getting restless, and they're just, like the song said when we started the show, they're just not going to take it anymore. And they're pushing back, pushing hard. And I think that one day, here, let me turn this fan off of my mic here. I think that one day in the not too distant future, I don't think there's any may to it. I think that we'll be experiencing or witnessing this type of thing happening literally all over the country. So we'll see what happens, and I'll let you know when things start getting haywire. Of course, you'll have figured out probably in your own areas as fast as anybody else. So you're right. A lot of them not going to take anymore. And we're going to see, I think a great testimony to that is the amount of militia that is on the border right now. The people that have left their homes, their lives, their sacred honor, the whole nine yards here, just to go down and pull a tour or two on the border. And Ranger, that's not a good thing, son. If the Black Panthers are going to Ferguson, that could accelerate things. We may wind up seeing some ugly things happen. Roger, what do you mean you're 24 hours from your rifle? That's hard for me to believe. I don't know where you're at or what you mean by that, but that doesn't sound like a good thing to me for some reason. I try not to be any more than 30 seconds or so from a rifle most time in Pennsylvania working. Well, Roger, why couldn't you take your rifle with you? Is that, I know Pennsylvania, is that a company thing that they wouldn't allow you? Or Pennsylvania is not too bad for guns. I carried a bunch of guns to Pennsylvania without any problem. So maybe it's a company. I go through New Jersey. I see. Well, that puts a little bit of a damper on things. But anyway, every time I talk to someone that is forced to work out of their home area, or, you know, has to go to California or some one of these other places, or having to, that their company has forced them to fly somewhere or something where they're not able to take their guns, I keep thinking that how bad I would feel, and I don't know about everybody, but I think we're close enough right now that any trip or any distance that you are away from your preparations and your home and your weapons is just really not a good thing. And Queso, I'm with you. I mean, a lot of people absolutely just can't do what we do, either can't or won't, And I don't blame them for either. We all have our own ideas about things and our own, what I would call free agency to do whatever you wish to do. But I have got to a point now, a lot of these people, and Roger included, have what some would call a career. And they're not willing to throw that away to violate their, or refuse to fly or violate their company policy or risk a felony with state law or something like that. They're trying to get in every dime and every year of work that they can, knowing that it's going to have to be given up at some point. And but I'm just like you, Kay, so I just, I just won't. I just, it's a lot of other things that I would probably choose to do, and it has put me in a bind way more than once. And it's obvious through the things that I've done, the amount of times I've moved the store and everything, my political views have not been good for the business. Political views are good for short periods of time, but because of the things that I refuse to do and whatnot, it's not a lasting good. We get benefit from it, short periods of time, and then it falls down again. But I just haven't ever got smart enough to back away from that stuff and say, okay, I'm a businessman. I know what I need to do is run my business in such a way that I get filthy rich and I can do what. That's water under the bridge. Now we can forget about that. So anyway, Roger, that's good, and that is definitely the second best thing. Of course, now what I would have done, not that you would have or anybody else would have, but what I would have done was I would have found the motel that I was going to, and I would have shipped at least one handgun up there. Maybe a handgun and a rifle, ideally, and had it waiting for me when I got there. And if need be, then I would ship it back and have it waiting for me when I got home. That would be my next best option. The next thing is, when you get there, go to the gun ranges, go to the gun stores, barbershop, and find people that are like-minded, and make friends and say, hey, this is great. If something happens, I may be coming to knock on your door here and see if I can get some help. So that would be my third best option there, and it looks like Roger has taken care of that already, so that's good. Let's see here. Let me look down through the Tennessee T-Dog joining. Northwest Heavy made it. Not too late made it in here. Good deal. Getting a good crowd in here. In queso, that's, a lot of people are working on that right now. That is a difficult to do. Becoming that gray man is a challenge. Definitely a challenge to, there's some things that you have to give up, some inconveniences, and a lot of them have to do with employment, taxes, a number of things that are a little bit of a risk. You have to decide for yourself this risk versus reward type thing. And, I have no advice for you, for any of you. This is surely a personal decision. You need to, I tell you what I would advise you to do, and I mean this from the heart of my bottom. I would certainly discuss it with people that matter to you, or people that may be affected by your decision, primarily spouse, children, parents, friends, Anyone that you think is worthy of your time. They're not time's not what I'm looking for. I forgot what I was trying to say, but anyway. And I would certainly regard. I don't care if you have any Christian tendencies whatsoever. This is a serious enough decision that I think you'd be a fool not to get down on your knees and talk to your Heavenly Father about this and get a little guidance, a little bit of personal revelation, and find out if it's the thing for you, you know. Roger, that's good. You're in a good area right there if you've got that many people that know something's up. I guess that's not true. I mean, I guess it all kind of depends on the type of people that you talk to, because the people that I talk to around here, I ain't got no business talking to them if they're not pretty much on board. And the people that I hang out with, those types of people, you know, some say it's very safely 9 out of 10. But nevertheless, the people that we don't hang around with, there's still a whole bunch of them out there that have no earthly idea what in the world is going on or what they think may go on in the near future. So, let's see. Yeah, okay, so that's exactly right. Try hard not to talk politics to anybody you don't know where they stand, because you can't, as I've said in a number of speeches that I've made in all over the country, one of the first things, I guess it's not one of the first, probably halfway through the speech, I say, you know, there was a time when I used to be diplomatic and try to bring people over to my way of thinking. And then it got to a point where, they wouldn't get it, and I'd get mad about it, and we'd finally just at best we'd agree to disagree and to part company, because I have no use for people like that. I'm sorry. I've become very closed-minded. There was a time when I tried hard to bring people in and be diplomatic. I spent hours, maybe days, weeks discussing this with them and saying, hey, this, let me explain it to you. I'd try through common sense. I'd try through written media, newspaper, internet sites, whatever. I'd try through scripture references. I'd just try everything. And some people, just regardless of how much facts that you inundate them with, they don't get it. They won't get it. They refuse to try. They won't burden themselves with the truth, with facts. And it's pretty sad. And Roger, I have a hard time finding Obama supporters around here too. Once in a great while, you'll see a bumper sticker on a car or something. But it's funny that when you find them at Walmart or Denny's or wherever, they don't have the same attitude. Anyway, we with this Ebola stuff that's going on that Peanut Rider put on there, and lots of very, very serious things going on, and it's happening so fast. I used to think, a few months ago, I'd say before the end of last year, I said how fast it was going. I thought it was going fast then. I really did. I really tried to convince people that it was moving along faster than we could keep up with. But if you go back and look right now, listen to some of the archives from early when Just Measures Radio first started in June of 2010. And, you know, we thought we'd taken on quite a attitude, quite an air of seriousness then, thinking that things were moving pretty fast. But when you go back and look at what was happening in the news then and what's been happening for the last 2 or 3 or 4 months here, there's no comparison. And I keep thinking that there's just no place else for us to go. How much faster can it move? What's it going to be like if the poop hasn't hit the fan and something hasn't happened? What's it going to look like 1 year from now? Look how things were 1 year ago compared to what it is now. Can you imagine what it's going to be like 1 year from now if things don't blow up here? So if you listened to me in 2008, it would have had to been on AM radio, and somebody would have had to sent you a CD or something, because Just Measures Radio did not exist in 2008. But I was on AM radio, and I was putting podcasts out, so you may have done it through that back in those days. I didn't get on internet radio until mid to late 2009. So, but I was still, like I said, there was still lots of podcasts out there, so. There's another anonymous just popped in. Welcome. Mountain Shooter, I wasn't even on that other network. I didn't go on that other network until 2009. So, so it may have been, like I said, there was lots and lots of podcasts out. I started doing podcasts and putting them on iTunes in. Maybe 2007. Certainly by 2008, we had lots of them going on iTunes, and that you may have heard them there. So, I don't know. All right. Well, in 2008, John Galt was on. Just Measures did not exist. At least the radio network didn't exist in 2008. In either way, whatever the case may be, whatever the time was, this was all pretty much educated guess, conjecture back in 2008, 2009. Things were getting worse. We thought they were getting bad. We thought it was moving pretty quickly. Boy, were we ever wrong. And, you know, one of the things that I hate worse is admitting that we're wrong. But that's the way it was. All right. We're going to be off like a dirty shirt here for a little bit.
I'll be back.
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. A single thing you've done is gonna faze me.
Pain, and it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised.
Cover up my red
What this world needs is a few more rednecks, so people ain't afraid to take a stand. What this world needs is a little more respect for the Lord and the law and the working man. If we could use a little peace and satisfaction, some good people up front.
You can't take me.
Are protected by the good Lord and a gun, and you might meet them both if you show up here not welcome, son. Now our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew and fry everything out here.
Good people gonna gather round, gonna show what made this country great. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. Every one of them looks like a nail.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more. Okay, are you ready? Here's Cope Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, light in the air, rolling them hills that is waiting for me
there. All right, let's get into some... Getting some news things. We've got a plenty of them. And by the way, tomorrow night should be an interesting night with our firearms related stuff. Let me remind everybody once again. Dang it, I forgot to get something to remind me when I was in town today. But we've got our hunting rifle class coming up at Schott's Ranch this weekend, and I think it's going to be a great class. We've still got a few things to do to get ready for it, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So, go to the website, go to ShottsRanch.com, check it out, and you can sign up while you're there if you want to. There's a this coming out of New Jersey, and I tell you, I'm impressed in hell, really. I'm not. I would be if these guys would abide by the Constitution like they should. What they have said here is they're following their Muslim in chief. In New Jersey, this guy was caught on camera, a cop telling a resident that he couldn't film inside a public building because Obama has decimated the Constitution and the police force doesn't have to follow it anymore. So single-handedly, Obama stepped out there and done enough damage to the Constitution that these cops think that they don't have to follow it anymore. Okay. It was in Helmeta, New Jersey. Special police officer has resigned from the police department after this video got out and went viral. Wednesday, this would have been 2 weeks ago. No, a week ago. The police director, who is also seen in the video, had the resident escorted from the building. Said that the officer is no longer on the police force. Now that impresses me. It looks like they got rid of him to, looks like they used him as a scapegoat here, that there was others involved that didn't get any discipline for it. So in this video, a resident was trying to explain to the officer that he has a constitutional right to record inside the municipal building. He said, "I don't really care about all that because Obama has decimated the friggin' Constitution, so I just don't give a damn because if he don't follow the Constitution, we don't have to." That was probably a poor choice of words for a police officer to say, especially on camera. The guy was amazed that he said this, and he turned to his camera person there to ensure that she got that on camera, and the cop himself said, "Yeah, did you get that? Our president has decimated the Constitution." So that sentence in and of itself makes it sound like he's on our side and he's mad about things, and then he turns around in the same breath and says, "Well, if he don't have to, we don't have to." So that's not cool. Mr. Manny, who come up later in the video and has...
House Republicans have taken the initial step in suing President Barack Obama over the administration's decision to delay the employer mandate of the health care law. House Speaker John Boehner released a draft of the resolution that would authorize the House to file suit that the president has declined to...
Thank you. All right, how about a... here's another story that's relatively related here. It's about guns, but it's kind of like what... kind of goes hand in hand with what we just talked about here. There was an open carry activist here in Wisconsin that... Well, let me just tell you, I wish they had a video with this one. Let's see if I can... See, now I can't play this one because it uses the actual word that we can't use on Just Measures Radio. So this guy went for a walk in the park, and apparently it wasn't really a walk in the park. But he stood up. This guy stood up for what he believed in at probably tremendous risk nowadays, because we just heard about the risk of filming in public buildings and the risk of, you know, being out too late, being on the wrong side of the street, carrying bottled water to your car, any number of things that people are getting beat up, jailed, killed over. And this guy risked it, and he won. He did. I'm amazed, but he did fine. His name's Bill Polster. and he recorded himself walking through a county park last month while he carried not one, but two guns, and after 10 minutes, he was confronted by the cops. He gets a little ugly at the beginning of it when he realized one of the officers was aiming a rifle at him. He says, "Don't point that effing gun at me. He's got a gun pointed at me. That's BS." And the officer who was not pointing a gun at him told him the county ordinance prohibits carrying loaded weapons through the park. And this guy recited all the state laws that should supersede the county laws, county rules. And nevertheless, the cop took his guns and unloaded them. And he wound up giving him a warning for it, but the guy dutifully posted the video to YouTube. It went fairly viral. County officials met and talked about things, reviewed the rules, and decided that the county ordinance would have to be updated to comply with state law. And this new ordinance is expected to ban hunting in the park, which I can understand that. I don't have a problem with that. But allow open carry, which won't be drawn up until next month. But nevertheless, the guy won. They said the sheriff's department will not enforce the old blanket ban. So coming out of Wisconsin, I think that's pretty awesome. He says, obviously, there'll be no hunting in the county park. Those were covered under that ordinance. We're going to have to redo that ordinance to cover those specifically while allowing open carry. So, and then the guy apologized for his language. He said he wasn't proud of it. He said he could have handled it a little bit differently. So, anyway. And then he praises the police department. He said they handled this incident appropriately. He said once they understood what we were doing, he was cooperative, and we handled it right and ended it right there. So, anyway, there's a good example for you from a patriot in Wisconsin. So I've got a let me check my chat room here real quick and see if there's anything I need to go in there and address before we get too far away. You guys are cruising right along here. BB Burner says he's having sound problems. Anybody else having sound problems? Let's see here. All right. Intermittent. Let me find out. We'll see what's going on here. Northwest Heavy's having it okay. All right. Well, if anybody's having it okay, then anybody that's not, it's probably on their end. So if everybody's having the same problem, then it's probably on my end. All right, well, let's move on. Now, here's another, man, we have so many of these, and I hate these stories. I'm going to put a picture in the chat room for you in just a minute. This came out of Erie County, New York. I can't imagine how this family must have felt when these cops walked into their property, shot their dog in the head while they're looking for a man that didn't live there. And this gal, 25 years old, spending a quiet afternoon with her kids. And it was normal day, she said, while watching her 5-year-old daughter playing with the dog out behind the house, inside the fence. And she had a baby boy in a playpen inside the house. And the parents, whose house this actually was, weren't home at the time. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she recalled that she had ducked in the house just for a minute to use the bathroom. She was alerted to something going on when the two dogs started barking. One of them was inside, one of them was outside. And said she looked out the window and saw two police vehicles, a car and an SUV, along with unidentified men. Now, she said she had two vehicles, not police vehicles. They were unmarked, according to her side of the story. She said these men, one of them had their gun drawn. She rushed outside and toward the danger to be with her daughter. who was at that point accompanied by a two-year-old pit bull. She said, I heard two shots fire and lady yelp and my daughter scream. The armed stranger, still not being identified as a police officer, had just shot the dog in the head, 20 feet behind the dog, in the exact same direction as her daughter was standing in her playpen or whatever it was there. He then walked up the hill with his gun raised, and he said she screamed at him not to shoot again. She said there's still no clear indication of who the intruders were. No markings on the vehicle. Three men, not in uniform. Described them as in business attire, not in uniform. And she said she was going to call the police, and that's when they said, we are the Erie County Police. And then they requested entry into the home. So you're going to come up and shoot my dog, and then ask if you can come into my house without a warrant. No. No, that's not going to be happening. And this is one of those cases where clearly, in my mind, absolutely clearly, she should have shot the hell out of, there's only three of them. If she stepped outside with a 590 loaded with double out there, she might have solved that problem right then. These cops have got to quit killing people's dogs when they want. Now, the dog didn't die, I don't think. Dog was bleeding profusely. Let's see. Secured the dog, no reason for the intrusion. She did. Yeah, she survived. 60 metal stitches and $1,200 later, she was okay. So, the cop even said that, he said, I didn't mean to graze her. He had full intentions of killing that dog when he went in there. Now, I'm going to put this picture, if I can, in the chat room for you and show you this pit bull. Let's see. Yeah, I think this is going to work. You going to bed?
Mm-hmm.
Nice, sweetie. Click on that picture and look at that dog. And the dog wasn't doing it. Now, if the people would come to the front door and ask, knock on the door, as I have said so many times, this probably wouldn't be happening. But, yep, another dog. Yeah. Well, anyway, like I said, the dog lived. And the lady's suing. Now, of course, they'll... Dangerous animal. Family found the troubles were not over yet. On August 5th, when the police returned for another visit, this time they brought paperwork and a document that read, order to seize dog. So, the cops, seemingly unsatisfied that the dog had survived the first encounter, had used other legal means to get rid of her. Describing her as a dangerous dog, a pit bull, this document authorized them to seize the dog and hold, care for, or dispose of. The deputy and animal control officer took lady away, lady the dog's name, away to the animal warden, leaving her pending court date August 12th. That was yesterday. Lady may be euthanized if found to be a dangerous dog. The lady is, not lady the dog, but the lady, Mrs. Shimbersky, said, they put my child's life in danger because of their negligence. Lady did not deserve in any way, deserve this in any way, because she is not in any way a dangerous or aggressive dog. And, they've, created a name for this all of a sudden. They call it puppycide. Like homicide, you know, suicide, whatever they call it, puppycide. I'm going to, for those of you that are so inclined, I'm going to put a link in the chat room for you. Not a link, but some contact information. And I want you to look this up and see if what the... Well, hell, why don't we just look it up together here right now? Before I put this information in here, why don't we look this up and see, let's see, what would be the best way to do this? Let's say Erie County, New York, dog shooting. Let's see what comes up here. Family pet shot in the head as of 4 hours ago. Here we go. Got it right here. I'll save you the trouble, maybe, depending on what happens. As of 4 hours ago, for those following the story of Lady, an Erie County, New York dog seized 11 days after being shot by Officer Greg McCarthy, it's a pleasure to announce this case is far from over. The family of an Erie County dog seized by police now plans to move forward to restore the reputation of their dog. After the courtroom fiasco August 12th, where the defense wasn't allowed to present their case to the judge and defense attorney was detained by questions, the family decided to go forward in proving Lady was not a dangerous dog. On Facebook, Justice for Lady page, an announcement was made today. We have heard from all of you loud and clear that you want to see true justice prevail. Well, folks, unfortunately, true justice is not free. It comes with a lot of filing fees and court costs. Matt has been great by offering, Matt was the lawyer, offering his time to help secure Lady's release, but we can't ask him to bear the burden of all the costs to seek the further justice that Lady and, quite frankly, all of us deserve. During the trial, Matt was able to get a confession out of Officer McCarthy that Lady isn't the first dog he shot while performing his duty. Unfortunately, it most likely won't be his last. Fundraiser site can be found. I'll put this on the website in a minute. The initial $3,000 is to offset many of Lady's vet bills. Now, I have no problem with helping this lady, with this family, with their dog, the cost of all this. You know, we kind of have to pick and choose our battles because dogs are getting shot every day. And some of them, the dogs die, and there's no court battle and everything. So other ones, like this one, I think are very deserving of a few bucks going their way. And I hope that if I'm going to put this link in here. Let me just do it now. Here's a link to their fundraiser site here. There we go. Let's see. I wonder... somebody click on that and see if we need to remove the S out of it. What? Burner, that's right. Why come they don't start shooting cats? It's all these dogs. Jeez. Give it a rest for a while. But click on that link and tell me if it works. Okay, Minnie says it works. So if any of you are so inclined, please feel free to jump in there and send us. Send them $5, you know. There's going to be other people sending stuff. Send them 5, 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000. Whatever you can scrape up and throw in there. Let's see. It has also helped the amount raised will go over in excess so that Matt can represent Lady and her reputation as a good dog restored. Well, I wouldn't care about restoring anything. I just want the dog turned loose and come home and then to be left the hell alone and be free in my home and effects and papers and all that. I think there needs to be some type of a public in this area, in all areas, a public awareness deal, a town hall meeting or something, saying, you know, this is absolutely unacceptable. We cannot continue to allow this. The problem is, you know, there's only, well, I guess loosely we could say there are two options. One is for everybody out there to get heavily involved in this. Get very, very loud, very vocal, very in their face, all over the place. And see if we can't get this turned around and have them quit doing it. But I'm thinking that that's not going to work. when people come to your yard in your house without announcing who they are and having the proper paperwork, and they come with hostile intentions, they should be treated as criminals. Because until proven otherwise, that's exactly what they are. I hate it that it's coming to this. There's got to be some way around this. Why, as often as this is happening, why is there not some of these higher level federal judges saying, "Whoa, you know, you can say you can justify this dangerous dog crap all you want to, but there has to be some limitations here. You can't just pull a dog out of a car. You can't just walk into someone's backyard where a dog is minding their own business and not do it, and then shoot it because you want to come in. Why didn't you go to the front door?" What's Doc got going? A serious question. As you know, it is illegal to point firearms at anyone without damn good reason. What do you think of all the Leo snipers lighting up protesters with their laser-mounted rifle? Well, Doc, obviously to me, and I think probably to you too, what's the difference? If it's illegal for us to, shall I say, convince someone that I really am going to shoot if you don't get out of my house, and we wind up pointing a gun at them, why is it not illegal for cops to put their laser on you when you haven't done anything? Just in case you do something. And maybe we could put that out there, Doc, that way. Maybe we could get on the blogs and websites and stuff and try to encourage people to start pressing charges against these sniper, any kind of sniper that puts a red dot on you, puts a laser dot on you and tries to intimidate you or threaten you with this, then what's the difference? Where is the statute that makes them above the law? What holds them unaccountable for the things that they do? Yeah, it seems like we should be able to use that excuse. Well, I feared for my life. I felt threatened. So I killed two or three of them. Sorry, but I feared for my life. But, you know, maybe we could push something like that, and maybe we could get them to, I don't know, I doubt it. But we could always try. Let's see here. In Texas, the law, threats as justifiable force. The threat of force is justified when the use of force is justified by this chapter. I think Arizona is that way too, Roger. For the purpose of this section, a threat to cause death or serious bodily injury by the production of a weapon or otherwise, as long as the actor's purpose is limited to creating an apprehension that he will use deadly force if necessary, does not constitute the use of deadly force. And I'm pretty sure that, I'll have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure Arizona's law says something very similar. And I know there is something about brandishing, producing a weapon in a manner in that is not calculated to, I forgot how they worded it, but I'll have to look that up and show you. But anyway. All right, well, here we are. We have managed to stumble through this whole thing here and right up to break time again. So, stay with me, and I'll be back.
Nobody dared to meet him in an open press debate. He was nominated by the folks from every state. Yes, a monkey was the president, though maybe not the first.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is?
So Chi and I go get and beat you with the understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Saturday evening is 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Bert stands in the corner with a barrel so straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail. Tonight you'll be in the park. Shotgun boogie draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time, right here on Just Measure Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
Enemy is approaching fast, requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building.
You say you want a revolution. Yes, no.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable. Inevitable.
Revolution. Well, no.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Stand down! Stand up!
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheists or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands,
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we won't stand for tyranny. Oh, and it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
It was over in a moment, and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big
okay, I just wanted to see if y'all missed me. So, anywhere, I'm back. Sorry for the delay there. Let's see. I think we have another stranger in here. Let's see here. Yeah, I saw Aaron stop in there. All right, good deal. All right, let's move on here. We had, let's see, here's a good one. And so much of this is going on. There was a bake sale. This is completely unbelievable to me. There was a bake sale that was canceled because of Michelle Obama's lunch rules. This was in a middle school that prevented the school from holding a fundraiser for World War II vets. Program has been an absolute failure, they said, with both administrators and students. It said a lot of the kids have rebelled against these standards and put pictures of the little skimpy portions of their lunch on Twitter. Now, I'm glad we haven't seen this yet at our school. This is going to be an issue if they do. I don't know what schools, if they sign on to this, if it's something they can opt in, opt out. I don't know what the deal is here, but these kids have posted pictures of little skimpy lunches on Twitter and have refused to buy school lunches, causing the schools to waste a whole bunch of money on lunches. So this is good. This revolution is we're starting to see it with the kids now in school, and I think that's awesome. I don't know why I have nothing else to really push on that one, but in previous years, this same school there said they had bake sales, sold cookies and cupcakes and stuff during lunchtime. That ended up raising $2,500 for these World War II vets to take the honor flight to Washington, D.C. Thanks to the lunch program, the school will not be allowed to conduct a fundraiser using junk food items. Federal nutrition standards currently in effect limit the amount of calories, sodium, fat, and sugar that food sold during school time as snacks are allowed to have. And this includes fundraisers. So now the students at school will no longer be able to have a charitable donation to this worthy cause of these World War II vets. This is nuts. I fail to see where it is the federal government's place to tell people what they can and can't eat, what's healthy and what isn't. Now, if the state were to come in and say, look, you can't serve brownies and soda pop for lunch every day. You know, you got to do something. Well, that the state can do that. There is a limit to everything, and that we should be giving the kids a reasonably balanced and nutritional lunch. But the federal government, number one, has zero business being involved in that. Yeah, okay, Department of Education. What does the Department of Education have to do with lunches? The Department of Education should be abolished right along with a whole bunch of other federal agencies and departments. But even so, why do they have anything to do with lunches? And why are these little portions so small that even if the kids... if the kids notice,
I say it's small portions, but these are reserved.
Did he?
Really small, yeah.
Yeah. That's right. I remember us talking about that. Amy just reminded me that Wesley had really small portions, and I remember the reason this was brought to our attention. I forgot about that. Thank you, babe. The reason this was brought to our attention is because Wesley would go out, after school for football practice, having this minuscule lunch that they had little tiny portions. And I never did go and eat with them. I ate with the kids in Farmington school several times, but I didn't notice the portions being all of that small. But I think this was prior to the... Michelle Obama regime here. But anyway, we'll kind of try to keep an eye on that and see if we can. You know what, Doc? That's a damn good point. You know, Michelle Obama goes and spends, has taxpayer paid chefs to fix all the crap that her and her brats eat. And she's expecting these kids to eat these little tiny, miserable little lunches there. We're going to change gears here real quick before this topic disappears, and that is the tactical kilts. Boy, did we ever change gears, huh? And 007 did meet a group out there that wore, the whole bunch of them showed up with these 5'11 tacticilts. And they thought they were fine. They enjoyed them. They liked them out. I mean, Amy wants one. I can see them on girls, but not in a tactical environment. If you want to wear a kilt downtown, I guess that's fine. But my problem with the kilt, aside for the fact that, well, that it's just not for me, okay? But realistically, all kidding aside, I see a problem with the kilt in a urban tactical, in a rural tactical environment. When we had one of the guys get down into a prone position to shoot, and then he didn't want to do it again, a younger guy, because of his elbows. His elbows hurt in the gravel. And I said, well, you know, buddy, if you're going to continue to do this with us, what you need to do is wear a long sleeve shirt. I don't mind if you roll your sleeves up, but when you're doing something like this, at least you have the opportunity, the option to roll them down so it doesn't affect your performance. And I see the same thing wearing a kilt. If you you're out here and they're in a poop hit the fan environment, and you have body fluids and glass and stickers and cactus and dog poop and gravel and everything else to kneel down in, why would it even be a consideration? That is totally, I just way don't get it. I mean, that's if you guys want to wear them, it's entirely up to you. But I'll during our during any type of training that you may be involved in, then uh, 007, let me offer you something else. Now, I hate to pee in your post toasties or in your tacti-kilt here, but ponder on this for a minute. Just think about this. Think about when you run, slide, goof around, play as you did when you were a kid in gravel with tennis shoes on. How often did you have to stop and get the gravel out of the tennis shoes? So if you have knee pads or elbow pads on bare knees and elbows, and you go diving through the diving into the gravel and go into a very dynamic situation in training, and you wind up with gravel in the knee pads. Can you see that happening? I know what the Scots did, Ranger. I don't care what the Scots did. We ain't talking about that was their thing. That's what they like to do. So we're not. They were raised that way, I guess. Maybe their knees were tougher. But I still see gravel getting there. What's going to happen? You're going to need to take some time and have somebody cover me while I clear the gravel out of my knee pads. That's just not for me. At least if you get gravel and you have pants on between the knee pads and the gravel, gravel gets between pants and the knee pad, it's not so uncomfortable, and you can probably wait for a time when it's tactically sound to remove it. But I just see issues in the stickers and in everything with that. But if you want to try it, knock yourself out. But you're probably not ever going to train with us anyway. I don't know. You might. We saw you out there that one time. Hopefully you'll come back. But as far as the militia goes, I don't know if you'll ever get around to it. But if you do, understand that I am going to cut you no slack. If you get out there and get gravel in between your knee pads, you're just going to have to deal with it till we stop for lunch. And then we'll see if you can come back on here and tooth those things. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens. Okay. I'm a firm believer that you should avoid stickers at all costs. If you can. Alright, we had another incident here in Michigan. And this was reminiscent of Boston here a while back. This town stopped. We might have talked about this, so I'm going to go over this just real quickly. I think we discussed this already now that I look at it. But this town stopped every single vehicle coming in or going out of this little town in Michigan looking for a criminal. He was a murderer. I understand. I'm all for doing whatever is within reason and constitutional to find a murderer. I am not all about violating your rights to find this murderer. I just ain't. So I'm not going to spend any more time on that, but there's pictures here where cars were backed up on every road for blocks and blocks here while they were searching cars illegally, unconstitutionally. Dozens of cops out there. So, anyway, I have a problem with that. And I have a problem with a lot of stuff. I guess I need to take some, what do you call that stuff? Not Percocet. What's the stuff that calms you down? What do they call that stuff, Amy? Starts with a P. What do they call that stuff? Starts with a P. Calms you down a little bit. Huh? Anyway. Prozac, yeah, that's what it is. Prozac's what it is. Huh?
Chamomile tea.
Chamomile tea? That doesn't start with a P.
I know, but it's better than Prozac. Tonight.
Well, why don't you go get me some? That's okay. I love it when you do that. No, that's okay. If you're going to bed, I'll take a rain check on it for tomorrow. I got to call Dave for a little bit as soon as my show's over. Okay, we've got all that personal stuff out of the way here. Yeah, camel tea, I think is what she said. BB Burner, I'm not sure. Something like that. By the way, there's... I don't know if you guys are interested in any of these things. I've got several people interested here locally. But since I have... I'm thinning down my gun population again. So I inherited quite a bit of stuff after the shop closed. I let my FFL go. And the FFL is going to be redone under a different name, and we will be back in doing the same thing we've always done here in the not too distant future. But right now, it's I wasn't going to pay what's required to renew the FFL just so we could let it go and have it under the Schatz or Antswin here. So it's gone for now. And the guns that I have inherited through that little transaction, I'm going to be getting rid of a few of those here. Some of them I'm going to keep. We got some good stuff out of it. I'll hold on to them for the time being. So, anyway. I'll go over anybody's interested in those. You can email me or something, or message me on Schatz or on Facebook. And we'll tell you what we got there. All right, let me cruise down through my ever-growing list here. It got a little bit smaller today. We managed to get a few of the reports out. I see that that Ebola is becoming more of a nuisance than they'd hoped, I think. That is that they're, the guy that was in Europe that had it, he died, and according to this news article, there was a doctor that's died from it now. And I wish we had more evidence, more proof that this was an orchestrated thing. It sure seems that way. We can come up with all the conjecture and stuff that we want, but I wish we had something to go on that would. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence that this is what's going on. And because it's something that we want to believe, we just do. You know, whether we take the time to take the time to verify or confirm or not, we just do because it's what we want to believe. And I'm very much opposed to that. I am very much opposed to that, regardless of what the topic is. I want proof. I want confirmation. I don't want circumstantial evidence. I don't want conjecture. I want you to be able to show me where that came from. It's not that I doubt you. It's just that I want proof. And some things are a little bit... the heartbreak of psoriasis. Yeah, there's one. There is a lot of these things, a lot of the swine flu and some other things that have popped back up over a period of time. You know, we have to wonder why, if they wanted to eradicate smallpox, why did they keep, if I'm not mistaken, I know Russia had a specimen of it, and the United States had one. And they kept this for all these years. If they wanted to eradicate it and completely get rid of it, why didn't they? When they had the opportunity, when it was pretty much gone all over the world, why would you keep two samples of it? That doesn't make any sense. There is strong evidence that a lot of these diseases were cultivated, designed and grown by countries for biological warfare. And there's more than strong evidence of it. I mean, there's certainly proof of some of those things. But we feel that AIDS was one of those things that was planted for. Now, wouldn't you know, though, it would seem that there would be a suspicion that if you were to do this and put this in a small country somewhere trying to wipe out something, which I am extraordinarily opposed to, by the way, but if you were going to, wouldn't it seem logical that at some point somebody may go there and visit, or somebody may leave, somebody may all of a sudden find a big gold coin under a coconut out here on an island and say, well, okay, I'm moving to the United States. I'm getting out of here. I've had all this I can stand. I ain't going to take it no more. And they bring it with them. Wouldn't you think that was a possibility? And what would wouldn't you know if you designed this disease that if somebody did bring it home, that it would get out of hand in a matter of weeks or months? Let me see here. Stop that. So it some of these things seem a little bit absurd to me. Others, not so much. I mean, we do have proof that a few of these things were designed, but they, at least as far as we know, were kept under control to a point. I can't imagine. Apparently, the Ebola, if this story that I read is true, that Ebola virus was patented by the United States in 2009. So meaning that it just about had to have been, had some other, why else would you design something like that? Why would you build something like that if you were not going to use it for sinister and evil purposes? What possible benefit could you have from creating that kind of a disease? Now, even if you were going to weaponize it and put it in some island somewhere or something and get rid of all the inhabitants, and you want to give the island to the Girl Scouts or something, is it? I just don't understand the mindset there where they would do that and then think that it was totally impossible for it to get away, knowing that they didn't have a way to stop it. Or at least telling us that they didn't have a way to stop it. Let's put it that way. So, I don't know. We'll see, I guess. Anyway, it's one of the many things that is accelerating the activities, the festivities coming up here in what I feel like the not too very distant future here. So, all that being said, if you guys will stick with me through one more break here, we'll come and finish this up. I mean, I haven't played this for a long time. I'm going to play it just because I like it. And I like it because I created it.
I'll be back.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
What I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day. Introducing to their grandpa.
Come. Well, it doesn't get dressed up for nothing.
What do you want, Jennifer? How can I help you? What do you want, Jennifer? How can I help you? What do you want, Jennifer? How can I help you?
I noticed that the defendant, Town of Portside, Alex Taft, Jeffrey Gilbert, and Albert Johnson were ordered to a hearing on... I was reading on the internet that there's a group, it's very entertaining sometimes on the internet, but there's a group planning to come into Portside, I believe it's either August 25th or 27th, and their business to occupy Portside. Now, I've heard that they are meeting at the town park, and I'm just wondering how you might feel about fighters coming in and trying to occupy Portside.
What has taken place here, and I have talked to the FBI, I have talked to the Attorney General about it, I talked to everybody that will listen, and I certainly, with what has taken place over here over the course of the last few weeks, I certainly consider it to be domestic terror. I certainly consider it to be domestic terror, domestic terror, domestic terror.
Just keep on. Just keep on. You go ahead. Yeah, go ahead with your bad self. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm back. I'm moving away. Yes, I'm back.
So their efforts were basically to shut down the government of Portside. That is the message, and that is the message that I'm sending to the people who listen.
Wasn't that when you declared that emergency exists open-ended? Doesn't that create fear in the community?
You know, hopefully they're a peaceful group. You know, hopefully they're a peaceful group. But I will tell you this, and. You know, that a lot of these people that participate in this by reading the comments, there are people who advocate violence.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch!
You tell them I'm coming, and Jason's coming with me, you hear? Jason's coming with me!
Another one busts the dust. Hey, hey. Another one busts the dust. Hey, hey.
Cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
Okay, we're back. Let's see if we can finish this up here. I want to give you some developments that are happening out at Schatz Ranch. We're getting some things organized and changing things around just a little bit. And for the foreseeable future, I will be taking over all of the survival and preparedness activities that are going on out there. A lot of you that are have been with me for a while know that that's the kind of thing that I've done for some time. As a matter of fact, if any of you listening have taken any of those classes, I would appreciate it if you would send me a good, bad, or indifferent. I'm not asking you to write a good one, just whatever, however you feel. I would like for you to send me a little written deal about the about your experiences with any of the survival or preparedness classes that have been put on by Southwest Shooting Authority. So, anyway, that's we will still have roughly the same, the same schedule, same type of classes and stuff. They'll be a little bit different. I have different terms, different names for things and stuff. But anyway, the same types of things as far as 72-hour kits, packing the stuff. I've done a tracking class, a little bit different than what had been planned out there before. And quite a number of things that will be going on. Our 8-hour disaster preparedness seminar is going to be a regular fixture out there. And several other things. A lot of them are in the woods, in the stuff, and others are classroom time. So we'll continue on with that. I'll let you know our website now is fully operational. Most everything is on there. There's some changes that need to be made here in the they're probably being made as we speak, to tell you the truth. And hopefully within the next 72 hours, those changes will all be made to reflect what is going on there. So if any of you are looking forward, and we're going to do this in such a way that where some, let's say we had a personal defense handgun 2, a 2-day class. When we have a 1-day survival class or something like that, we may throw one of those in front of that so that somebody can come and get a well-rounded education, as we say. They may come and get the 8-hour disaster preparedness seminar. They come and do that for a day and then get all primed up and squared away and anxious for some training, and they go and take their 2-day handgun class or rifle or shotgun or whatever it may be. Another thing that we're going to change in the schedule here, most Ricky Tick, is 3 days of rifle, handgun, and shotgun. This was well received this last weekend, and we did that once before. Casper Mountain got to participate in some of that stuff back in, it would have been the 4th of July of 2011, I believe, when we were still in Luna. And so we're gonna change that and put that on there pretty quick. And another big thing that we're gonna do, big change, This is probably not within the scope of what most of you are going to want to do, but we do have people that have that are willing to do this. We're going to put on a six-day executive protection class. There's going to be two levels of this. The first one in the beginning level will be 6 days. The one after that will probably be 3 or 4 weeks. And we'll let you know as that moves along here. That executive protection class will be either the second or third week of November. We haven't nailed that down yet. But we have a guy to teach that. That is, of course, I'll be doing quite a bit of it, especially a lot of the firearm stuff and everything. But we have a guy that has been with, I don't know what all I can say right now, but he has been on security details for some of the most important dignitaries in the United States and Iraq. And he has done this for a living for a long time. And he is exceedingly knowledgeable in this kind of stuff. BB Burner, Wes is he's doing okay. He's made some decisions that I'm not quite on board with, and doing some things he's going to have to learn on his own what's going on. So we'll keep you apprised of what's going on there. All right. There's what else have we got going on out there? I'm trying to make sure there's a lot of changes right now. Some of the and it's all going to be for the better. We've got most of the facility up and running and functional, and I'm not going to name any names just yet until all the final arrangements are made, but the overall management out there is going to, not that anybody's leaving, I don't mean to say that, so don't go jumping to conclusions, but some roles are going to be switched around a little bit, and it's all going to be for the better of the ranch. It's going to be operated a little bit differently, and I think we'll see a tremendous growth and benefit to this here in the next 60 to 90 days. I think we're going to see a lot. Before this winter, things ought to be running very nicely out there. So that's the news from Shots Rand. We're still looking at trying to get that, I told you SWAT Magazine is going to come out and take a couple of classes with us, and that will be in January. And I'll let you know exactly the dates of those things. And we'll, if anybody wants to come out and shoot with one of the writers from SWAT Magazine, we'll let us know, and we'll get you in on it there. Construction out at Shots Ranch, 007. Let's see. Well, we've finished the classroom. I don't know if anything too. We're building a target line out on the rifle lines now. One that's like you saw the one on. No, Aaron, that's not who it is. I can't think of his name right off the top of my head. I've got it in the email, but that's not who it is. And Burner, I don't know what Denny you're talking about. I have no clue what you mean by that. So enlighten me with your wisdom, and we'll yeah, Aaron, one of the classes that they want to take is precision rifle, but primarily the thing that lured them down here is they heard about our fighting lever action class. And they want to come and take that. And if they can squeeze in another class along with it, then no, Burner's not him either. He's not one of the editors. He's just a writer. And dang it, I can't think of his name. I looked on their website, and he's you know, pretty popular on there. He's written a lot of stories. I just don't remember his name. If you guys keep guessing at it, maybe you'll come up with it. And when I see it, I'll remember it. But no, Aaron, that's not it at all. SWAT Magazine is, I think they call it Survival Weapons and Tactics. It's not Special Weapons Attack. It was at one time, but it has been changed, and there's now Bob, Frank, Tom, no. It's more survival oriented than it ever was before. It was kind of more military and law enforcement oriented before, and there's still, to a certain degree, there's a little bit of that left in there, but mostly it's more on weapons and survival stuff now. It's a great magazine. There's a lot of interesting stuff. I think it comes out, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's bi-monthly. Or maybe I should say semi-monthly, every other month, every 60 days. But anyway, all right, well, I think we're getting close enough that yeah, Louis Arbuck died here not too awful. I'll tell you what, I heard, and I'm not going to say anything about him. He's, you know, he's got his followers and everything, and he's gone, and I will not say anything. But I heard some things from someone that knew him pretty well and has taken classes with him, and it may conflict with a lot of the things that you've heard about Louis Arbuck, and that's as far as I'm going to go into it, because I just don't want to say anything else. All right, anyway, I think that's enough for the time being. I'm going to ease on out of here. I need to make a phone call. I'm going to be on the phone for a while. I might as well get a 15-minute head start here. Aaron, I did hear about that, about the California politician. And he probably won't have any problem getting that through, especially nowadays. So if anybody's out, and especially in that neck of the woods, if it passes out there, it'll pass in other places. And as a matter of fact, there are places now that don't allow it. So if you're planning on getting anything like that, you might want to consider going ahead and thinking about it. Now, I would caution you just real quickly, we got a couple minutes. If you're going to get body armor, be sure and check the date on it. It does have a shelf life, and you have no way of knowing how it has been stored. If it's been laying flat, then the shelf life is correct, or maybe even extended. If it's hanging or standing up, you know, in a corner somewhere, then the fabric starts to settle, and it's not as effective as it was when it was new. So make sure, if you buy used body armor, make sure you're able to try, if you can, to ascertain how it was stored, and try to make sure that the manufacturer date on it is on there and hasn't been altered or anything like that. So, you know, if you're going to buy body armor, I really recommend that you just go ahead and get new stuff. It's expensive. Good Lord, it's expensive. But if you want to get it, you know, go ahead and bite the bullet and get some of the newer stuff. I've got two or three different sets and styles of it, and the plates and all that stuff. I think one of my plates is cracked, but it's still better than nothing. I have mixed emotions about that. As a matter of fact, I've talked to this guy that was worked for Blackwater and everything, and was in spent 5 years in Iraq here recently, and with Blackwater, and he had the same idea as did Armored Recon. You remember the guy from the Australian that was in the Australian military and also in security and everything in England and New Zealand. And I think in New Zealand. And they both said the same thing that I, the way that I feel. If I'm going to be in a static position behind sandbags at a house or, you know, a camp or something, or if vehicles, something like that, then I'm all for wearing the body armor. But it is my contention that some of these people that have been saved by body armor, at least a percentage of them, may not have got shot if they didn't have had it on. Because they can move faster, they're more agile, and more they're lighter, can run faster, move faster, climb faster, duck, dodge, run, and without all that damn weight. Add that on to the rest of the stuff that you have, and I'm not 100% convinced that it is the most important thing out there. Has it saved lives? Absolutely. There's no question about that. But especially if you're carrying something with the armor by itself is fairly hefty without the plates. And by the time you put all that stuff on there, I don't know. I was going to say I may be wrong. I know I'm not completely wrong, although some may not agree with it, because I've had more than one person tell me that's been there, done that, been out in it, that would rather not wear it so that they can get around a little better and not be so fatigued at the end of the day and all of that. So, you know, it's one of those things that you'll truly, surely have to think of on your own and figure out if you think that the risk is worth the reward that you get out of it, and make sure that you're not, how would I say it? You're not sensationalizing your reward for an excuse. I mean, be realistic about it. Think about when you're training, when you go out and do some of this stuff. Think about how you would feel and how you can move and whether it would be worth it for you or not to leave it behind. I think that stuff like that, if you're, as I said, in a vehicle or in a static position somewhere, I think it is probably priceless. But when you're out moving around through the woods, the only thing that it, if there was a danger of a sniper attack, you know, chances are pretty good the sniper's going to shoot for the head, depending on how far away and what his skill level is. So if he does, then the vest is not going to help you any. And that helmet that they wear damn sure won't stop a 223 or a 308 or 7.62 by 39 or any of those other rifle rounds. It almost won't stop a 22 Magnum. It makes a dent on the inside of the 22 Magnum. I have one of those helmets here, and we've tested it. We've done it. We've shot it with several rounds. It will stop handgun rounds pretty effectively, even at point-blank range. But 223 and stuff like that, zip! It went right on through. Didn't slow it down a bit. And like I said, the 22 Magnum went through for the most part and made a pretty good bubble on the inside. It did not go all the way through, but it's something to. And there's another thing. If there's a danger of a lot of shrapnel and stuff around flying around, then yeah, that helmet's probably a pretty good idea. But there's also people that say, you know, that that helmet restricts my vision, or, you know, it makes me unbalanced when I turn my head. I can't move as fast. So there's a lot of people that will, if they're not restricted by Army regulation, you know, in a civilian operator or something, may choose not to wear it for the mobility of it. So something for you to think of. I have one. I'm just not convinced all the time that that's what I want to do. Yeah, that Aaron, that stuff is expensive. And you did bait me, didn't you? Managed to get us right up till 5 minutes to quitting time. So I think since we've done that, I think I'm going to go ahead and pull the plug on this now. Tomorrow night is gun night, so don't miss that. And we'll get with you here. Oh, let me real quick. We're still taking donations for the guys down on the border. If you can get to them. There's a couple of outfits down there that I am not sure about. So let me go right now and find that email address for you again for the the ones that I know are legitimate. These are people that I know that are down there. So I'm going to give you an email address for the PayPal down there if you want to send them a few bucks. If you want to put together a package of stuff to send to them, that's okay too. I can get you an address. I don't have it right this minute, but I can get it for you. Let me put this email address in there for you. This is what you use if you want to donate to the cause down there. A lot of people are doing it. We're putting together a box of stuff here. I've got some medical stuff. I've got some wet wipes, which they are in bug spray that they are badly in need of. And money, man. They need fuel money. They need money to, tires on one of their four-wheelers. And they just a lot of stuff that they need. So be sure and, it looks like Queso beat me to the draw there and put that deal in. However, Queso, I'm going to get rid of that one because of the... Anytime you put a email address up in a public forum like that, there's always the danger of the automatic email harvesting programs to capture that and start getting a bunch of crap in it. So alter it just a little bit. Instead of the at sign, you can write at, or instead of... AOL.com, the period, go ahead and write out dot, and that confounds those automatic programs and makes everybody a little safer. So okay, now we've gone upward 2 minutes to quitting time. Jeez. Okay, I'm out of here. I can't do this anymore. Good night. Okay, let's call it a day, and thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for The Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let freedom